This is Real Life with Lisa Jesswein on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Lisa Jesswein.
Oh, this is a good one, everybody. Okay, everybody get a seat. You're feeling good? Got yourself your favorite drink sitting there. Put your feet up. Listen to this. Challenging moments in life help to define each of us. The choices made during these times often reflect an individual's true nature. Nobody embodies those words more than their actual author, S.L. Young. Hey, Sly, how are you? Sly? Hello?
Hey, how are you? Sorry, I still had it on mute. Sorry about that.
That is classic. I love it. It was like, I thought maybe you were taking a huge dramatic pause.
No, sorry about that. I was so excited to get started. I didn't want to interrupt.
Dun, dun, dun. So, Sly, what brought about those words that I'm talking about, the ones that you just wrote? And which book is that from?
Well, that's from my inspirational series, It's a Crazy World, Learn From It, which there's four parts. And really, this entire series and those words came out of a dark period in my life where I recognized that I was going through something and I started to write. And as I started to go through this period of depression and started to write as an outlet, I was trying to figure out what things did I really want to tell myself. And over time, it just became a series.
Okay, now everybody, just I'm going to back up slightly. Sly is an author, a blogger for Huffington Post, life coach, inspirational speaker, and I want to take people through a little bit of the journey that brought out this sort of writing and this side to you that sort of says, I am not going to let these things get the better of me. You really are a true phoenix. You are. And your books are all geared towards, you know, business and life challenges. And in your beginning, your road to overcoming these obstacles began quite early. So what was school like for you?
Well, school was very challenging for me. Well, you know, let's take a step back. So Initially, I was doing really, really well in school. Mm-hmm. And then there came a period of time when I entered into my adolescent years. And there were a lot of distractions, and I got sort of tied into the wrong crowd. So that led me to make some bad choices and led to more bad choices, which led to me doing drugs. It led to me not going to school. And then eventually I failed 6 out of 7 classes, and they told me to leave school.
And this is teenage years?
Teenage years. You know, this was around, it started in my freshman year of high school, and then into my sophomore year of high school. That's when the bottom fell out for me.
So you're flunking out of school.
Yep.
And what's going on at the home life at this time?
Well, the home life is actually, you know, really good. So it wasn't about what was going on at home so much as it was what was going on with me and the choices that I made, including deciding which friends that I hung around. And the friends that I was hanging around at that time were into things that they shouldn't have been into, such as doing drugs and not wanting to go to school.
Okay, so what is the sort of Kickstarter there that got you from, I've flunked out, I'm feeling horrible about myself, then what did that move into?
Well, you know, it sort of evolved over a period of time. So first, once I had that wake-up call, so there was a meeting in my principal's office where it was about basically kicking me out of school. And they said, Stacy's not doing well. We don't think that he belongs here. We don't think he's ever going to do well in school. I think the best option for him is to go find a job. And fortunately for me, my mom said, it's your life, it's your choice, make a decision right now. And so I basically made a decision to stay in school at that moment, not even understanding the implications of the choices that I was making at that moment. And then over the next year, it didn't immediately turn around. I actually, and I didn't realize this until I wrote my book about my story, is that I actually almost failed my sophomore year of high school for a second time. But fortunately, we relocated. It allowed me to change schools. And then being in a different environment allowed me to pass my 10th grade year. And then in the next year, I started to turn things around by making different choices. So hanging out with different friends, trying different activities that I hadn't done before, track and field, debate, forensics, other clubs within school. And by associating with a different crowd, that began a slow process of changing my attitude about life.
Was there any particular mentor that you remember during that time kind of having an influence on you?
Well, you know, I didn't realize it at that time, but now looking back, in my 10th grade year after I had failed. I was transferred to a different sub-school within the school. So I wasn't with the junior class. I was now in the sub-school with the sophomore class. And what happened was there was a principal, Miss Gwen Felder, and she was on me all the time. I couldn't turn around without it appearing like she just appeared out of nowhere. And she would say to me, "What are you doing in the hallway? What are you doing now?" And I was like, "Please just leave me alone.
I'm getting a drink of water. Leave me alone."
Exactly. And then it was like that one day I was walking down a hallway and I was going to go straight ahead, but for some reason I decided to go right. And dun, 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 there she was. And that was the infamous conversation where she said to me, "I'm tired of seeing you in the hallway. We've had numerous conversations about this. And if I continue to see you in the hallway, we're going to have some different conversations."
Oh.
So Ms. Felder was a no-nonsense principal, and that was exactly what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I owe a lot of all of my successes today to Ms. Felder.
Wow. So you finished up high school, right? You graduated, and then what happened after that?
Well, I barely crawled across the finish line in high school. So,
okay.
So I graduated high school in the bottom 8% of my class. But at that point, I was interested in going on and going to college. And at that point, I went to a local university, and I started to do fairly well. And then I had a bad experience with a professor where I was driving to class and one of my windshield wipers fell off and it was like a torrential rain. And all of a sudden the wiper was cutting into my glass.
Mm.
And I said, "Okay, what do I do? I don't know. You know, this is a new car. This is new to me. I'm not sure what I should do. Should I try to drive? Should I try to go get the windshield wiper?" Because I knew that I had an exam. And I made a decision to go get a windshield wiper. And then I get to the class late. You know, I'm speeding down the highway trying to get there to take this exam, and I get there, and the professor says to me, "You're too late to take the exam." And this exam was a significant portion of my grade, and I already had like a B or C average.
Wow.
So that meant that I failed the class. And that one experience alone caused me to want to walk away from school. So I left that college. Then I went to another one. I left for a few months. Then I went to another college, a community college, and thought I'd give it another try. It didn't get any better. It actually got worse. And there were actually semesters where I actually had a 0.0 average.
Wow.
There were at least two semesters. And then the other issue was I was trying to take distance learning courses, and I didn't have the proper study skills. Mm-hmm. So then I just sort of walked away. And it took me a while before I was able to get back.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that turned everything around for me was being hired in an organization without a college degree. I was hired into a major corporation to work in their billing department, and that was the beginning of the transition towards me wanting to do more and do better.
Okay, everybody listening right there, he didn't set out to get hired in a company in a billing department. That's not what he set out to do. But right there, just that, even that small little window that cracked open, and you went there and you're saying that now then changed the course of you and what you went after that.
Definitely.
Wow. Okay. There's just so much more about you and we don't have enough time, but I want to get to, because this is so important for people right now, because I know you, as you stated earlier, you dealt with depression and even suicidal thoughts. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And how did you go about helping yourself through that?
Mm-hmm. Well, as we were talking about earlier, I started writing early on. So the first thing that happened when I realized that I was starting to go into this period of deep depression, I actually went to my doctor and had a conversation. And I said, "I'm not feeling normal. I've had some bad things happen. And I just want you to prescribe me something so that I have it available in the event that I need it." And for me, I never took it, but I at least wanted it there. It was sort of like a security blanket for me. Then I started writing, and I didn't know why I was writing, so I started writing. So that sort of started to turn things around. And then at the moment that I was about to commit suicide, which was less than a year ago, it was on 3/11/14 was the day that I almost committed suicide. What was sort of interesting about this is, and I'm going to go back a little bit to go forward, is the month before I almost committed suicide, I received a phone call out of the blue from a local library that asked me if I would come by and speak at a healthy living series. And the woman that was speaking to me said, what do you want to talk about? I said, I don't know. She said, you know, just give me an idea and we'll go with it. I said, well, how about belief? And she said to me, wow, that's an intriguing idea. So I didn't know where that came from. I just threw it out there. Later in the month, and I'm going to talk about what happened. Some folks might believe it, some folks don't. But later in the month, a couple of weeks later, I had two separate conversations as I walked into my kitchen. The first time, and I believe it was the voice of God, said, you have little faith. Mm-hmm. And then the second one was, you've been chosen. Those were the two things that I heard. 2 weeks after that, I actually started going into a period of deep depression. And then one day I just woke up, wasn't planning to commit suicide that day. It was there. It was in the room. The room was very heavy. The room was very dark. And I made my final phone call to my brother. And I said, I just need to make sure that you're going to take care of our mother if I'm no longer here. That was all I wanted to say because I'm my mom's primary caregiver. Mm-hmm. And I just needed that assurance before I committed suicide. And in my moment, I was trying to stay strong. I actually broke down, and then he started asking questions. I hung up the phone, and then he ended up calling back. And then the interesting thing about all of this is after I made it through that moment, and my brother said to me, it's just a moment, Stacy. It's just a moment that you're going through. Mm-hmm. I was able to slowly start coming back into reality. He told me to talk to our sister. I called her sister, had a conversation. And the crazy thing about this is like 4 to 5 hours later, I got up and I went to a jail to teach inmates because I teach inmates.
Wow.
And then 1 week and one day after I almost committed suicide, I was going to present at that library. And I gave a presentation about belief that I had no idea that I was going to present a month earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was, when I stood there, and the guy that videotaped it for me said there was something different about that presentation. And I said, I know too. And then a little while later, I realized the reason that that presentation was special is I was standing in front of a group presenting, but I was trying to convince myself to believe.
That is powerful. Wow. I have to take a second because there's a whole lot that you said right there that I think is going to resonate with everybody who's listening. And even when you had no idea what that talk was going to be about, the divine, the universe, God, energy, whatever you want to say, helped guide you to figure out exactly what that was going to be about.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, amazing. When you write, do you sort of let it just flow or do you decide this is what I'm writing on and you start that way?
You know, it's been an evolution and it's been a process. So when I originally started writing, I would, and I still do this to a certain extent, I put together an outline before I start writing and then I sort of build on the outline because it's the easiest way for me to sort of get through it. But what I've learned to do now is to listen to the universe, and the universe provides that guidance to me to get started. So I can have an idea that I want about a topic that I want to write about,
mm-hmm.
and it's probably not that moment that I'm going to start writing it, but I plant a seed in my mind that says, I want to write about this. And what happens sometimes is I could be walking down the street, brushing my teeth. In the middle of the night, I wake up, and I'm like, now's the time to write it. So now I learn to listen to those random thoughts, well, things that we consider to be random thoughts, but I take them as signs and signals from the universe when I'm supposed to do something, and then I just act on it at that point. And I just want to share one quick story. I was at my mom's house one day just flipping through the channels, and I happened to flip on a program where the author Stephen Pressfield was on there, and he was talking about his process for writing. And I had just had a conversation with my sister just a couple of weeks earlier that said, you know what, I just finished this book, and then I started looking back through it, and I'm like, who wrote this? I know I wrote it, but I can't believe I wrote it. And then I saw this program, and Stephen Pressfield said, you know, I think it was actually on a show, Super Soul Sunday, I believe it was, and what happened was, I think Oprah asked him, how do you know that you're in that moment of flow or in the presence of God? And what he said was, I know that I'm in that those moments of flow when I put my ego aside and then I just write and then I look up from the paper and then I say, ah. And I said, you know what? That's what I say too. So it was nice to have that validation from the universe that what I was thinking and feeling, somebody mm-hmm. else was thinking and feeling too.
That's so good, because ego is a little bugger. The ego will jump in and tell you that's stupid, you don't know what you're doing. Yeah, so it's better when we can just sort of tell ego to go sit in the naughty chair and don't come back.
Exactly. Yeah.
That would be good. So what was it about, because this fascinates me, because this actually occurred to me, which is why I'm bringing it up. And I'm talking about when you wrote about bullies, they're in your office too. Could you be one? How did that come about?
Well, that actually came about over a process of years. I actually had been in some situations at work where I've actually been bullied at work. And sometimes we get that bad boss that just doesn't have good management skills. And I'm not talking about that necessarily, but I'm talking where there's an active campaign by someone who's intent on using their power, influence, and control to harass, intimidate, and threaten you. And so after I had experienced a number of these incidents, because when you work in large organizations and you work on multimillion dollar projects with hundreds of people, there's a lot of bullies that you experience for various reasons, whether it's for ethical reasons, for personal drive, just for the fun of it. Mm-hmm. And then after I had a situation which actually led to my depression and near suicide, was related to an issue of extreme workplace bullying where I was told I was stupid, I couldn't do any better, I didn't know anything, and it was just ongoing, 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 ongoing. Then I had to leave the job. It just led to severe depression. And so when I left that job, because I'm very analytical, I said, let me think back and what happened. And then when I thought about that, I started thinking about other instances of from very subtle to very aggressive bullying. And I said, these things happen, but a lot of folks aren't willing to talk about it because a lot of folks aren't willing to raise their hand and say, hey, I'm an adult and I've been bullied at work.
Yep.
So I said, these experiences happened to me. I'm going to take my experiences, create case studies that have questions and answers, and then at the end, I'm going to give you some lessons learned from what I learned from my experiences to help others. So when we go through things, it isn't a moment to say, oh, I'm weak. No, by sharing our vulnerabilities, it's actually a strength, and we can share the experiences that we have to help others.
You know, I just want to thank you so much for saying all of that and doing all that, because that was what happened to me, and to know that there are no laws on the books, at least mm-hmm. here in Michigan, regarding mm-hmm. workplace bullying. And I actually ended up leaving a very high-profile, high-paying job because of it. And you do feel shame about it because you're an adult and you're thinking, how can this happen to an adult and no one's going to believe me? And, you know, when you don't get the support, you're kind of left with feeling less than. And, you know, it took a lot for me to sort of come back from that as well. And that was 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I thank you so much for writing about it, because it puts credence to the fact that it's real, people.
You know, it's definitely real. And the thing is, a lot of times what happens is the bullies are allowed to remain in the organization. Mm-hmm. And the individuals that are bullied actually leave the organization. They don't tell anyone, because they're like, I don't want to tell anybody about this because I need the reference, or nobody's going to believe me. Because a lot of times the bullies operate when nobody else is looking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. Well, your whole life, it seems like, you know, if you look back over your life and divinely there was these little events, and each time it is about picking yourself back up off the floor and moving forward and picking yourself. That's what life is like. So what is the difference between those of us who choose resiliency, or choose, you know, I'm going to get up and keep going, and those who don't?
You know, I think it all has to do with willpower and the power of choice. So it starts with the power of choice, and then the will and the desire to move forward. So a lot of times we have bad things that happen to us, because we all have bad things that happen to us. But we've got to make an active choice to move forward. So when the bad things happen to me, the easiest thing would have been to go sit in a corner and feel sorry for myself, pick up a bottle and start drinking, or potentially do drugs. Those weren't viable options for me. And even though I kept having moments of ups and downs and ups and down and down and down and up and down, mm-hmm. what I needed to do was force myself to move forward, even though I didn't know what was in front of me. And if I could just real quickly, there was a quote that I took from the show Grey's Anatomy. There was a great character on there, Christina Yang. And in some ways, she reminds me of me because she's a real type A personality. And at the end of her final scenes, what happened was there was a voiceover track that was going. And for some reason, I just picked up on that. And what I heard was this. Sometimes the future changes quickly and completely, and we're left only with a choice of what to do next. We can stand there, trembling, afraid of it, not moving, or we step forward into the unknown and assume it will be brilliant. I choose to step forward.
Right now, the producer Remy and I are just we're applauding. That is amazing. I mean, who are we not to own our brilliance and our light? We have to step forward because that is wonderful. Do you have that written down anywhere?
I do actually have it. Oh my gosh, where do I have it written down? Actually, I just wrote it in one of my Huffington Post articles.
Yay!
I was trying to remember the name of it real quick, but unfortunately I can't. Oh, you know what? I think it is, depression is a limiter, willpower is an enabler, or a liberator.
Okay.
Willpower is a liberator.
All right. Well, we've been talking to Sly, or S.L. Young. You can go to slyoung.com, find out about all of his books and his writing. Also, are your appearances listed on there? Any places, things like that?
Well, I don't have any appearances out there right now, but if anyone's interested in booking me or finding out where I'm going to be next or what I'm going to be writing about next or have an idea for a topic, just send me a message on my website.
That is perfect. Well, we have come to the point that we lovingly call the RL3, Real Life 3, three silly, goofy questions that we love to torture our guests with. And Sly has very graciously agreed to do this. Here is your first question.
Uh-oh.
My refrigerator contains mostly blank.
My refrigerator contains mostly junk food, and I'm trying to put more vegetables in it.
Sly, come on!
What? I hate to admit it. You asked.
I caught you, buddy. I caught you. What's the number one, oh my gosh, yucky food that you love?
Oh, my number one yucky food is a fried rice mixture that I can microwave in 3 minutes and have a quick meal.
Oh, so
along with my cookies.
I love it. Here we go. Question number two. Which language would you like to speak fluently?
Spanish. That's the easy one because a lot of people are speaking Spanish around me and my Spanish is not very good at all. So I would love to get better at it.
Wouldn't that be great if we, because you know, when we're little kids, you know, it just absorbs in, you know, you learn how to count from 1 to 10 and, you know, French and Spanish in, you know, an hour. And if we could have only just kept learning. Oh, I love it. All right. Fluent in Spanish. Okay. Here's the third question, which is just the fun one we like to throw in. And it's about finding out your fantasy name. And that means we take the name of the first pet you ever had and the name of the street you grew up on. So what is your fantasy name?
Cat Brooklyn.
Cat Brooklyn?
Yes.
So am I guessing that we couldn't come up with anything else for the cat other than cat? Or?
Well, it actually was Kitty, so I just tell you Cat.
Now, Kitty Brooklyn, now that is some kind of name going. Sly, we are so grateful that you took the time with us and you shared your energy. I encourage anybody who has heard something here today that moved them to check out all of Sly's books. Go on to his website, slyoung.com, because, you know, even if you'd like, if you're thinking, well, you know, maybe Sly had people, I don't have anyone. You have somebody now. Go on his website. Check things out. Write a comment or a question, because I don't want anyone to feel that they're alone, especially if they are going through some of the feelings and emotions that Sly was talking about. You are not alone, and this is a great way to get yourself up and keep moving. Is that okay with you, Sly?
Definitely, definitely. That's what I'm here for, and that's why I'm sharing my stories.
Fantastic. Go to slyoung.com. Check everything out. Thanks, Sly, and thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.